Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Penn's Vlog Post Radio. I am your host, Jeff Lohman. We are going to be joined by Daniel here in about 10 minutes. A lot of things going on, not a lot going on. In this episode, we figured we would talk about the few teams in the NHL that did well prior to or right after the July 1st free agency deadline. There's a whole lot of winners. There's a whole lot of losers. And there's a couple of teams that are right on the cusp of being perhaps a Stanley Cup contender, but maybe are missing a few key pieces. And right off the bat, I want to say one thing, because I have a suspicion that Daniel may talk about Toronto. And let me say this for the Toronto fans. Your team is no better now than they were 3 months ago. You traded your best player in Phil Kessel, the guy who's led the team in scoring since he's gotten there. So we can make all the charges we want against Kessel's size and whether or not he was a good player in the locker room and et cetera. But the fact is, Toronto has not added players. They do have Mike Babcock. But I don't think, in the realm of everything that is real, I don't think Babcock makes this team better immediately in terms of playoff contender. They may be better, but I don't see them as a team that is going to necessarily win a ton of games. Now, they go and they add Lou Lamoriello, and that helps in terms of player personnel and contracts and stuff like that, because Lou is not the type of guy that's just going to let this kind of stuff happen that's happened traditionally in Toronto. But once again, I just have to say it. Anybody that thinks that this team is night and day better and that they made great choices and this hockey franchise is better just by adding a coach and a different general manager, they're wrong. Because at the end of the day, it's the players that play the game. It's the players that win or lose games. Granted, those are two added features that helps, and I think Toronto in the long haul, the next few seasons, will be better. But are they Stanley Cup contenders? Absolutely not. So I'm going to start with my three best. And my three best are Washington, Anaheim, and Buffalo. The reason why I start with Washington, and this is sort of a twofold thing, Washington has added a lot of depth. They've added TJ Oshie. They've added players that complement what they had already in Washington. Do I think they're cup contenders just because they added Oshie and some other players? Absolutely not. But I think that they were one of the winners coming out of the offseason because they added Justin Williams, TJ Oshie, Dan Ellis, and Taylor Chorney. Those are good players. Now, is Justin Williams going to score 30 goals? No. But is he going to propel Washington further than Washington may have been able to get, you know, next season? Possibly so. I think they're winners because they didn't go out and sign one or two blockbuster guys. They went out and added to complement what they already had. And I think any time that you do that, it's a win. And I don't judge my winners and my losers by who they added and who they didn't. How I judge this is how did they maneuver and how did they add and make additions to make their team better by surrounding them with other players. Because it's one thing if Pittsburgh goes out and gets Phil Kessel, it doesn't make the team tremendously better. Sure, it makes them better offensively in a certain category. But if you don't add the guys like the Nick Boninos to help round that out, then you're really not addressing the problems. My second team that's a winner is definitely Anaheim. I think of all the teams out there that I could put on a winner's list, Anaheim just, they remind me a lot of Chicago in the sense of they know how to add dynamic players. They know how to keep the cap relatively within the boundaries of what they need to have. And they just add players that are good. You know, Chicago has done that for years now when they'll put a team together and then they have to subtract during the offseason. It just seems like they make really good decisions. And for Anaheim, adding Carl Hagelin, Anton Kubodin, Kevin Bieksa, Sean Horkoff, and Chris Stewart, dynamic players. Now, Horkoff may not score 30 points. Bieksa is sort of a rough and tumble. They added some grit there. Stewart, hit or miss, but these are guys that can make this team more solid. And they're, if you look at it and you go back to Anaheim, these are players that they were missing last season. Adding Carl Hagelin by itself, great move. I don't think anybody can say that Anaheim is not a cup contender because I think they are. And I think that of all the teams, they're the ones that added the best dimensions as far as it goes for player for player. The third team on my winner list is the Buffalo Sabres. Now, here's the thing with the Sabres. The Sabres have done some great offensive moves that started prior to last season, especially with, getting Evander Kane in the mix and stuff like that, and they drafted, Jack Eichel, and they traded for Ryan O'Reilly, Jamin McGinn, Robin Rayner, and Dave Leglund. That's another team that is probably shouldn't – it's on the winning front of that, but it probably should be on the cusp, because I still don't think that they have enough solid goaltending in Buffalo to be a Stanley Cup contender, but I think that they're going to be night and day better. And so those are my three. My three winners are Washington, Anaheim, and Buffalo. And I'm sure when we get Dan on the phone, we'll discuss winners versus losers, and we'll get into a little heated debate about that. But looking at my loser list really quick, Philadelphia hasn't done anything. They've done nothing to address Vinny LeCavalier's contract. They haven't done anything. They re-signed Michael Delzato, which is great, but at the end of the day, it's just more money going out. And now that they re-signed Jacob Voracek for a ton of money, that is probably at some point going to force the Flyers to trade Claude Giroux. My number two team would be Arizona, just really quickly. Arizona is – they haven't added anything. And one of the interesting things that came out today on NHL.com is that they were talking about how Arizona is in it to win it. When you add John Scott and you add – Steve Downey, you're not in it to win it. And I'm not knocking Downey, because I like what Downey represents, but Downey's not going to have 25 points like he did in Pittsburgh. John Scott is a scrub. He doesn't have any skills. If they essentially added two guys who are going to fight. But if you look at the rest of their roster, they re-added Antoine Vermette, but Antoine Vermette is not going to score 40 points. So Arizona really did nothing to address their roster issue. Excuse me. And they have issues in Glendale to begin with the ownership and the arena and the fans. So I think Arizona's a big loser. I think that they could have made a statement by going out and spending some money this offseason to try to attract some players. And they just didn't do it. When you go out and John Scott and Steve Downey are your first two signs in the offseason, that is not a good sign. The third worst team that I have on my list is New Jersey. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, New Jersey, this, Ray Shiro. Look, Ray Shiro, if anybody can get it done in New Jersey, it's Ray Shiro. Losing Lou Lamoriello hurts the team. But once again, New Jersey's another one of these teams that's always been good in some way, fashion, or form. There, if you look at Lou Lamoriello's history, there are very few seasons where Lou Lamoriello was not playoff bound. And so for me, I think that the fact that Ray Shiro hasn't added anybody yet doesn't mean that necessarily they're going to be better or worse. I just don't see a lot of movement in New Jersey, and I think it's going to probably take closer towards the middle of the season to see where New Jersey stands. We got Daniel on the line, so we're going to go ahead and get him on the line. Daniel, how you doing, buddy?
Good day, Jeff. Good day. How's it going up there?
It is going.
That is good. That is good. Winners. Although they're not going to be cup contenders, and I think you alluded to that at the top of the show, I've got Edmonton and Toronto. They've made good, sound coaching and general manager moves. And here's to our friends up north. Don't say you're in the postseason yet. You're not. You're about 2 or 3 years at least away from the postseason. However, the moves that are being made are going to build for the future in those two cities, I think.
I think they will. But the stance I come from, especially if we take Toronto, for example, is that they've added no players. They can have all the coaching that they want. They can have all the coaching that they want. But at the end of the day, it's the players that play the game. Now, I'm sure at some point Toronto's probably going to make different moves to kind of complement what they have. But let's face it, when Nazem Kadri is your number one now, your team hasn't gone forward. Your team has stepped back. And the point is that, look, they traded Phil Kessel. He was the leading scorer on Toronto since he's gotten there in that trade. And they haven't addressed it. They haven't added anybody. They can have some of our prospects all day long, but none of those guys are guys that I think are going to impact the NHL in the next three seasons. So from my money, did Toronto win in a sense by changing the direction or the narrative? Sure, but they did nothing to address the players at all. Zero.
Correct.
They've done nothing. As far as Edmonton goes, As far as Edmonton goes, drafting Connor McDavid, and this is what's going to upset a lot of people about this conversation. Until he can score consistently in the NHL, he is no better and no worse than anybody else who's ever been highly touted to be something. When he shows he can do it, then I'll gladly say, wow, what a stud. He can score 5 goals in a rookie tournament with a bunch of guys who are going to be bagging groceries next week in a Safeway or a Food Lion or whatever convenience stores you have. But the idea is that I think Edmonton made more solid moves than Toronto did, but Edmonton is very much in the same perspective. They've added Cam Talbot, Andre Sequeira, Griffin Reinhold, Mark Letestu. They've added good guys, but if you look at their 1-2-3 punch, they don't have that. Now, they may have Cam Talbot, and he may turn out to be a pretty solid starter for them, but they paid a big, big price to get him from the Rangers. But that's another team that next season, do I think they make the playoffs? I think that's a huge stretch, but I think that what Edmonton fans can take out of that is that Edmonton, for a long time moving forward past next season, are going to be playoff contenders every year for the next decade.
Okay, now, let me bring up something real quick that I've brought up on shows before and shows past, but not on Blog Talk. Very important stat here that Jeff brought up. Just because you're touted as the next one doesn't mean anything until you produce on the big stage. Okay? Please bear in mind, Kobe Bryant was touted as the next Michael Jordan, as we all know back in the day, because they were already looking for a successor for the guy. But you know what? He was on the bench and came in when he had the chance to come in. He didn't become a starter until his second season. Okay? What I see with Connor McDavid is he was touted as the next Sidney Crosby without a single time of ice, on the ice, in the ECHL or the AHL. He was automatically, out of juniors, he's the next Crosby. Right here. And Jeff will back me up on it because we saw the same hype. And we're saying, let's just get play first. Let's see what he's got, and that's what I want to see. I want to see what this kid's got. If he comes out firing on all cylinders the way Crosby did, I'll give him props, and they'll shoot off my back. But you have to take your time in developing.
Who is your third winner?
My third winner is actually a player, and that would be Phil Kessel. Hmm. Okay? He got out of a situation where the media painted him as the bad guy, even though he puts out 60 to 70 points per season. Now, is he bad in the locker room? That's open for debate. But he's going to Pittsburgh. Now, it doesn't guarantee that he's going to win a cup in Pittsburgh, but he has a chance in Pittsburgh to be on a team where he'll be able to contribute and be with people that contribute. Now, the media isn't as bad as it is in Toronto. However, what Phil needs to remember, we have very passionate fans in Pittsburgh. They love their Pirates, they love their Penguins, they love their Steelers, they love their college teams, and they love their high school teams too. When they do well, they're very passionate about it, and they'll speak out proudly about it. But when they're not doing well, they will also be vocal about that as well and point out individual players. So Kessel's thinking, hey, I've got it made. And yes, he is working out and he is dropping a few pounds. But fans are going to want to see production. They want to see the 60, 70 point score. And that's the one he's going to fall back.
Who are your worst teams?
Philadelphia. You know, we've got Flyers fans that listen to this show, I'm sure. I don't know how y'all stay sane. Hextall is ruining the Flyers. You bring in a coach to replace Berube, and when it comes to this coach, he has not coached in any capacity in the NHL, not as an associate, not as an assistant, and not as a head. At least when it came to the Penguins and they hired Johnston at least was an assistant coach in the NHL. The guy they brought in Philadelphia, the coach, yes, the Frozen Four, But college does not always mean that you're going to succeed in the pros. That, and as you brought up earlier, they have the problem now where they're going to likely have to get rid of Claude Giroux. So it goes back to what I've said time and again. You can beat your rivals all you want, but people want results, and you're not going to get them in Philadelphia.
Well, you know, I think the thing that the head coach is, they're bringing in a guy who's had 6 or 7 Final Four appearances, and that's nothing to scoff at. And whether or not it transitions to the NHL, I think the one thing that he has differently that, say, maybe Berube, not even Berube, but some of these other coaches that they've brought in have had is he knows how to judge talent. He knows what he's dealing with, and he's a tough coach. And that's what the Flyers have needed for a while, not that the Berube wasn't a tough coach. But with a guy like that who has competed in the NCAA is no joke. That some NCAA teams are better than junior teams, maybe better perhaps than some ECHL teams. So from my perspective, I'm not going to base my judgment on where he has coached or where he hasn't coached, because we've seen this throughout history. Guys can coach at one level and are great. They get to the next level and they stink. There's been some guys that have coached in the ECHL their whole life, get a shot at the NHL and win. There's guys that have done the reverse, gone from the A to the N, and they fail. So I think for them, I'm not so much critical of his credentials as I am the player fiasco that they have going on there. Because one of the problems that they have is they're going to be paying Vinny LeCavalier for the next 10 years, whether they like it or not. It was a bad deal made by Paul Holmgren, and the Flyers consistently do this every season, but they weren't the worst in my opinion, because they re-signed Delzato, which is good. They re-signed Voracek, which is good, but that's going to present a cap problem down the line. But to me, Arizona was the worst. I mean, they signed John Scott and Steve Downey right out of the gate. Those are just not two signs that I make right out of the gate.
The good news that we can give to people in Arizona, if there's any silver lining whatsoever, is that with Downing, you've got a guy who's going to score about 20 to 30 points a season and show a little bit of grit, okay? They can come out and wave in our faces, well, we have a 2-year deal with Glendale. That doesn't mean anything. All that means is for the next 2 years, you have a home, and you're back to square one again, okay? When you look at the players, Arizona is the loser out of the West because they're not really showing any signs of bringing in people that can bring this team up to a level of success. And that is important to survive in this league. Big time.
Right. Well, Shane Downey,
when it comes to your Boston Bruins, but I think in hindsight, they'll be okay, at least.
Well, I think, you know, for 4 or 5 seasons, you know, the Penguins have had, Arizona has had Shane Doan. And I think after a while, I think with Shane Doan, they have to move on.
Yeah, they do. I have two question marks. You know, the wait and see column that I think we'll both agree with. One is Brandon Saad. When he was in Chicago, he had a lot of talent around the guy, okay? You had Kane, you had Taze, you had Sharp, you had Hossa, you had a heck of a coach in Quenneville as well. Now we're going to see if that talent that Todd was surrounded with can translate to success where you've got Hartnell, but that's about it. So I'm hoping for the best when it comes to Todd.
Columbus is one of those teams that has more than just Saad, and they have more than just Hartnell. They got a bunch of guys that can play, but they're on the cusp, and they're like a player away. And the only reason why I have them on the cusp, along with Pittsburgh and the Islanders, is because nobody knows what Saad's going to be able to do without the supporting cast, because the supporting cast in Columbus is not going to nearly be as talented as the one in Chicago. But if he's the type of player that everybody seems to say he is and thinks he is, then I think Columbus is probably going to be really good. And they were really good last season towards the end. So I think that Columbus especially is a team that I would watch. But I wanted to get to Pittsburgh for a minute. And the reason why is because a lot of people ask me, well, why didn't you say that Pittsburgh, you know, made the best transactions because they signed the biggest player? Well, because Pittsburgh's done nothing to address really the bottom end. And now, granted, they traded Brandon Sutter and they brought in Nick Bonino and Clendening. Clendening's going to end up in the AHL more than likely. We got Tim Erickson from Toronto who could possibly play at the NHL level, but they didn't do a whole lot to address, that third and fourth. And that's why they're on the cusp. I don't think, and a lot of this is going to aggravate a lot of people, but I don't think signing Phil Kessel means that this team is Stanley Cup bound. Because I think there's other problems that are presented here, at least defensively. The Penguins, I think, are two players from being a Stanley Cup contender. At least two players.
They're about two or three players away from being a contender, and this is really going to piss off people for our friends that are Penguins fans that listen to this show. The Penguins are on the cusp. And on top of them being on the cusp, even though they acquired Kessel, they are still one or two injuries or illnesses away from the bottom dropping out again. Because even though you have depth on the top six, you don't have that depth in defense nor in your bottom six. And that's going to be a problem.
Well, I think the one thing that Rutherford has done differently, you know, and a lot of people have said, oh, well, with Erickson, you know, you don't know. With Clendening, you don't know. And Clendening was a move to replace Taylor Chorney and Scotty Harrington. Those were two things to address that. I think at the end of the day, has he done better? Sure. But are they still missing, like, that one or two ingredient? Absolutely. I think if you go the whole entire season with Kunitz and Dupuis, that's a huge mistake. But once again, I say that with the disclaimer that if these guys actually do what I suspect they could do, then this move at the end of the day is going to look really clean. But it also presents a problem, and we'll get into this on another show, but when you sign another player who is taking up yet again a big significant part of your roster, that at some point is going to cause a schism effect, and somebody like Malkin or Letang is going to get moved. And they won't get moved because they're bad players. They'll get moved because the Penguins can't afford them. And that's ultimately what that move signifies. And if Kessel comes out and he puts up 70 points the next three seasons in a row, you can bet your bottom dollar one of those guys is going to leave.
Yeah. And one quick note for our friends that are Capitals fans. Yes, they have made some solid moves. But in a town where they're really looking for answers as to why this team can never get out of the second round. Because when you look at the Capitals, they've never gotten out of the second round of the playoffs. They've always been early exits throughout their entire history. Now is the time for Brayden Holtby to step up and shine, and I hope he does. I wish him the best. Because I don't think he's as good as Fleury is, but I also know that he's no Henrik Lundqvist, but I would love to see him get up to that level. And I think we'll both agree to that.
That's the huge argument that people have. And one of the things that has kept the Washington Capitals from getting to the Holy Land, as it were, is goaltending. They have not had solid goaltending in a long time. I mean, Don Beaupre, whatever. That's the guy that a lot of people like to mention. And Olaf Kolzig, that's great. You had Kolzig at a time period, and I watched Kolzig come up from the ECHL, and he was a great goalie, but they had nothing scoring-wise. They had Bondra. I mean, that's, you know, so at the end of the day, for me, is Brayden Holtby a number one starter in the NHL? Probably only on one of three or four teams, yes. I think if you were to take Brayden Holtby and put him in the West Coast, I don't think there's a single team other than maybe Vancouver he could play for that he would be decent on. I don't buy that he's that talented. We can argue about whether or not he got overpaid or not, but the other reason why Washington does not pop the playoff cherry, if we can say that, is that they haven't had depth. Joel Ward's a great player, but Joel Ward had a career season last year. Joel Ward is not the kind of guy that you're going to sign hoping to say, okay, he's going to supply us with 30 points, because he's not. That's one of the things that Washington has always missed out on. They go out and they sign guys like Chimera, who provide a little bit of offensive ability but are more of a grit type of role, and they rely on those guys. Now they've gone out and made some smart moves, but I think what's going to haunt this team and what will make this team win or fail is, like you said, Holtby has to be the best. If he's not, this team isn't going to do much better than they did last season.
Exactly. And quick note, for your Boston Bruins that you grew up on, I've got them under a good pot. I've moved them to the center as well as on the cusp. I wasn't a fan of the move that got rid of, you know, their GM, but I realized that moves have to be made. And Boston is still on that cusp. I'm not going to count them out yet, but I don't think they're cup contenders. If I could pick out a cup contender out of each conference right now, I'd pick Anaheim out of the West, because they have made nothing but solid moves. They've turned into, the, as you put it, the West Coast version of the Chicago Blackhawks. Sound moves, you know, up and down, they're contenders. And East is a little fuzzy at this point, because of the fact that... Go ahead.
For me, Boston is on the cusp. They've got to make. They've got some great draft picks coming up, and it's what they're going to be able to do with the cap that they saved with Lucic, Soderberg, and some of these other guys that they didn't want to pay, especially Hamilton. And I think if they make good draft picks, this team is rebuilt a year and a half, 2 years down the line. But no, I don't see them as cup contenders next season. But then again, they could surprise us. As far as out in the West, I think, honestly, despite what people are going to say, I think San Jose is going to be really good next year. And I think Anaheim, of course. In the East, I think the Rangers are probably still going to be the best team. They didn't really lose a whole lot. I think it's going to depend on what they're able to do as far as Rick Nash goes. If they trade Rick Nash, then that hurts them a little bit, but it really depends on what they bring in. But I think the Rangers, by far, are going to be good. The team that I don't think is going to be that good, that everybody is saying that will be good, is Tampa Bay. I think they pretty much I think they popped their cherry last season. I think they were over exuberant in a lot of different ways. They're a good team, but I just don't. It's something about Tampa Bay. I don't know what it is that they may be missing, but I just don't think that they're that good. I don't think they'll be that good next season. And then they got another problem with Stamkos probably maybe considering testing free agency. That's going to be a huge issue.
That's so a very huge issue.
I got about under a minute left, so give me 30 seconds of whatever you want to say.
30 seconds, Tampa, you know, we saw them burst out last year, but they're going to be a little bit slower this year, and that's all I've got to say about it.
Oh, well, all right, Daniel. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
You betcha.
So there you have it. You know, at times we disagree on things, but that's what's fun about talking about hockey. And I think as far as Tampa Bay goes, Tampa Bay's got a lot of good players. I think they played better than you always hate to say you think a team plays better than they're expected to play, because they're supposed to play that way. But I don't think that Tampa Bay is good. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to have the same exact luck next season. So as far as the Penguins go, you know, we're going to have to see what comes out of camp. I still think the Penguins need to add that fourth line center. If they do that, then it's the Penguins will be competitive, but it's really going to depend on how well this team can mesh Kessel with Crosby, Hornquist with Malkin, and et cetera, et cetera. And as far as the New York Islanders go, I think the Islanders will be pretty good next year again. They started off hot and fizzled towards the middle. So we'll see what happens. But thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you on the flip side.